Can you hear me? Oh, now I'm, you can hear me now. Man, I should sing maybe or something. You would really not like that. But some of those that come to the prayer meetings, they have to listen to me sing. Whether, you know, I make a joyful noise. And poor Eric has to deal with it. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris Ford. I'm the prayer and care pastor. I love Jesus. I don't know where else to go. I can't give you a deep theological message today, but I'm going to give you something out of the love of my heart for him. If there's anything else, that's the greatest thing I could share with you this morning is I love him. I love him more than anything. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, that it's all, you're here, you're teaching, you're leading, you're guiding. And Holy Spirit, I pray that every word that's spoken this morning, they would hear your words and not mine this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in us and through us and among us today. Lord, I love you and bless your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. It's our job as the church, as the bride, to make ourselves ready. It's not Pastor Walt's job or my job or someone else's job. It's our own job to make ourselves ready. And we do that by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Walt talked about abiding last week. It means just to remain, to stay close, to linger near. And that's fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, my favorite place to be. There's no other place I'd rather be than lingering in that place of that oneness and unity with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk this morning not just about abiding, but extravagant abiding. And this morning, I am going to talk about Mary. And we have some stories from some of those who have really spent some time abiding and lingering in that place with the Lord. I looked up what the definition of extravagant meant, and it means to spend much more than is necessary. Now, I'm not talking about shopping, but it's to spend much more than it's necessary. It's to be generously, it's to be generously lavish upon someone. And so I want to talk about being extravagantly, abiding extravagantly, to linger near and to give more than is necessary. You know, I think about my own life, and I've been saved for about 25 years, but about 15 years ago, I started with the prayer ministry here. Didn't really want to, but one of my friends talked me into it. I'm like, okay. I get in the prayer room, and I got undone. I had met Jesus in a whole different way. It was more than just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. It was, I fell in love with him there. There's been many seasons in my life of just in those extravagant abiding times with the Lord. Some of them, they haven't all just been in prayer, but they've been studying and reading his word, and the Lord begins to speak to me and reveal himself to me. They've been hosting those times of hosting his presence where you don't have to say a thing, but he's just there and he's so near to you. That some of them have been come out of times of warfare, that warfaring type of prayer. You know, those seasons of spending extravagant time with the Lord, they do call for a sacrifice, but I wouldn't change a thing. I don't feel like I wasted one moment of my life when I've spent it just lingering and waiting on him. One of the things that I would say through those times that I've spent with Jesus is he's become my best friend. I've seen him as a father and a husband, and I've just learned what it is to know him. And I guess you could really say I fell in love with him. And there's that line from that movie Elf. I'm in love and I'm in love and I want everyone to know it. And I feel like that's me today. I'm in love with him and I want everyone to know it. I don't want anybody holding back anything. I do know the love of an earthly father. I have an incredible earthly father. I know the love of a great husband. I've got a great husband. But when I began to know and understand that deep, abiding, never-changing covenant type of love that comes from Jesus, it drew me even into that closer, that place, that abiding place of, I've got to stay close, I've got to stay hungry, I want to stay near, I don't want to be far from him, I want to hear his voice. I don't want to live outside of where he's at, I want to stay right there with him. I once heard Heidi Baker speak, and she's a missionary to Mozambique, and she's seen the dead raised, she's seen the blind eyes open, she's seen the lame walk. But the one thing that she said that impacted my life more than anything else that she said was that she can't do anything unless she spends 3 to 4 hours a day with Jesus first. She's a busy woman. She's planted hundreds of churches. She's seen many people healed. But that's her number one priority, is spending that time with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And then I have a quote here from Martin Luther King. He said he had too much to do, so he must spend three or so hours in prayer. Jesus deserves that extravagant time from each one of us. I remember when we started the last Live Dead Challenge, the Live Dead Journal talks about tithing your time and spending that 2.5 hours with the Lord. And I remember my husband saying, "That's crazy. There's no way. I work 60 hours a week. There's no way I can do that." Well, guess what? The Lord made a way. He woke him up every night for 2.5 hours. So don't say you can't. This morning I want to read from Luke 10 and John 12. Luke 10, 38 through 42 and John 12, 1 through 8. These passages are about Mary, that is the sister to Martha and Lazarus, the Lazarus who was raised from the dead. Mary is a woman who would extravagantly abide with Jesus. She knew how to do that. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" I think I might have said something like that. "Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now let's go to John 12, 1 through 8. I hope those are all the same words that are up there behind me. I hope I gave them the right scriptures this morning. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who had sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have always." Extravagant abiding. That's what I see there with Mary. She's going beyond just lingering there with him. She's being extravagant. She's sitting at his feet. She's spending much more than what is actually necessary. As I read about Mary in Luke 10 and John 12, I see a woman that's completely taken with Jesus. She doesn't just sing the song, "Jesus is the center of it all." He is the song. He is the very center of her life. All of her focus is all about him. I'd love to read what a daily journal would look like. I followed, you know, with Mary. I followed him today here, and I followed him today there, and he healed the sick, and he cleansed the lepers, and whatever he did, because I believe she was right there following every move that he made. I see Martha in here. The Bible says Martha was distracted. And to be distracted means to be drawn away. I don't want to be drawn away, and Mary certainly didn't want to be drawn away. She had the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet, and she didn't care about this, what was culturally acceptable. She needed to get a meal on the table. She needed to be a nice host. She said, "Martha, you can handle that. I'm doing this today. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I don't care whatever else happens." I don't believe that she was being rude, but she knew what was more important, to sit at the feet of Jesus. when I see Martha in this passage, I look at someone that she's always done it this way before. She doesn't want to conform to any new ways. I've always made the meal. I've always served. I've always done this. I've always done that. You know what? I'm not going to break out of that box. You know, Mary, that you can do that, but I'm going to always continue doing what I've always done before. I believe Mary was breaking out of the box in that particular setting. She said, you know what? I can't do what's culturally normal and what's culturally acceptable. I've got to get to the feet of Jesus, and I've got to look on him, and I've got to behold him, and I want to listen to everything that he has to say, because he's more than enough for me. He's all that I need, and he's all that I want. Both Mary and Martha were in the presence of Jesus. We know that theologically we are all in the very presence of the Lord, but Mary chose to draw near. There's a nearer place that you can go. You don't have to stay back. There's a nearer place that you can go, and it comes through that abiding, that extravagant abiding. It comes through that lingering and staying with and longing for and remaining with. You know, another thing that Mary did was she actually, it talks about in Matthew 26, it's John 12 and Matthew 26 are actually correlating scriptures. They believe it was the same woman. They believe it was Mary in both of these particular passages. In Matthew 26, it talks about the woman pouring out the oil on Jesus's head. And in John 12, it talked about Mary pouring out the oil on Jesus's feet. What is believed is that she was so extravagant, she poured the oil out from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. She didn't waste a single thing. That oil usually was part of a woman's dowry, and that's what it was saved for. It was saved to give to her husband someday. But that oil, it was very costly and expensive. It said it was worth 300 denarii. A denarii is a one day's wages, so it was worth an entire year's wages. I don't know about you, but I don't know. The average American income is $24,000. Just put that in perspective. Could you walk up and just bust open a bottle and pour out $24,000 all over Jesus and be so extravagant with him? Maybe your average income is $100,000 or $200,000. It's that extravagance. That's what extravagance is. It's going beyond what was necessary. Her act of worship was costly, and it was extravagant. You know, another thing that she did that was culturally unacceptable, said she wiped her feet. He wiped his feet with her hair. Jewish women were not supposed to uncover their hair. And so it was considered actually erotic for a woman to uncover her hair in public and yet to wipe Jesus's feet. And then we hear the ridicule by Judas, and I can't even imagine what else was going on in the room. But I think she would do it all over again. I don't think she would waste a moment. She would say, you know what, it was worth it to me, and I'd do it again. I don't care what anybody says. You know, sometimes I wonder, what did the other disciples have to say? Did they agree with Judas? What is she doing? Or were they on the other side saying, I wish I had done that. I wish I would have extravagantly poured out that oil for Jesus. I wish I would have been the one who would have thought of doing those things. Mary laid those lesser things aside, being ridiculed, cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, which we all have to do. It's all part of life, for the greater thing, the kind of thing that doesn't rust and moths don't eat. She pressed into that greater glory. This morning, I just want to share with you, we've got some people right here. Their names are not Mary, but we have some testimonies of things that have happened over the last 2.5 years. Of living that we started to live dead. You know, sometimes our prayer meetings have been small, but the Holy Spirit has been so powerful in those places. Sometimes we'd like to call that, we just come to keep the fire burning. We come to keep it hot. I just want you guys to know, almost every prayer meeting, I hear people praying for everybody that attends here. So I want you guys to know, 3 times a day, every one of you are getting prayed for, praying for more, praying that the Holy Spirit inside of you would be so stirred up that you have to hunger and thirst for more. It's just that constant, that you'd be free from bondages, whatever it may be, but every day you guys are being prayed for. We've seen incredible times of hosting God's presence. We've seen the Holy Spirit in operation. We've seen the gifts of the Spirit so powerfully in operation day after day. We've seen healings. We've seen deliverances. We've seen words of knowledge come forth. And we've seen a lot of prophetic gifting come forth. I know God has really stirred that inside of me. When you begin to draw close and listen, I can hear him so much better. It's like I can hear that whisper. It's like I want to know what's on his heart. And he just begins to share that and bring that forth to us. One thing I want to say is, you know, it talks about in Acts 19 that Paul did unusual miracles. And I think that we've had a couple unusual miracles even in the prayer room, and they don't involve healing so much. But we've had two women come in on their birthdays and say, would you pray for me? I really want a husband. And they're both married today. God answered. And unusual miracles is what I have to say. The reason we encourage you to come to the daily prayer meetings is because there's so much power and revelation released when you pray with other believers. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When you look at the book of Acts, the things that have happened when they prayed together, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. There were numbers added to them daily. The place where they were praying was shaken. They saw healings and signs and wonders. There were prophetic visions and revelations released among them. Churches were planted and many experienced the Holy Spirit. You may be thinking, why are we doing this Live Dad Challenge again? It's to stir up. It's to stir things up. And so this morning, I'm going to invite Eric Henderson to come and share. He's going to share a live testimony, and then we have three video testimonies following him of just how the Holy Spirit has stirred him over the last 2.5 years. Thanks, Eric.
Good morning. Be careful when you sing Take Me Deeper Than My Feet Could Ever Wander, because you may end up here. My testimony began with a mission trip to Macy, Nebraska in 2011. We went to serve the people of the Omaha Indian Reservation. But as many of you know, on mission trips, God does more with us than the people we go to serve. Our mission team of about 20 people was there to host a week-long tent-style Bible camp and 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We met each morning as a group to plan and pray for that day's events. One morning, I was asked to pray out loud for the group. I respectfully declined. Our mission team leader, Joanne, was caught off guard and quickly redirected the request to someone else. Thank you, Joanne, by the way. I didn't know it then, but this would be the moment that God would put his finger on that thing in my life that had to change. See, my self-identity was firmly rooted in being a hopeless introvert, unable to handle public situations. And the process of change was started immediately. Now, please understand, I was then and still am actively in pursuit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, reading, praying, fasting, and believing. The problem was that I didn't realize I held tighter to my own self-identity as an introvert, which caused me to say no to his request in public settings that required a focus on me. During this process of changing me, the Lord started to speak to me about my favorite hobby, studying and playing music, particularly smooth jazz. It was my pursuit, albeit a difficult one, with complex chords and rhythms. Most notably, no lyrics, no words, just instruments. We have a room in our house dedicated to music, and it would be the place I would retreat to, and my family would tease, Dad has disappeared again. During the 2012 Live Dead Challenge, another church member spoke about the fact that the Lord was encouraging her to allow him into her secret retreat. I knew without a doubt that the Lord was speaking directly to me. I asked, Lord, what am I to do? His response, give up music. My family and I were both a little rattled, and I vividly remembered the cover of the keyboard staying on as evidence of my obedience during that time. During that season, I spent more time praying every day and was prepared to give up music for good if that's what God called me to do. At the end of the Live Dead Challenge, the Lord said, now study my music and play my music. I ordered an Israel Houghton book and started to learn worship music. Just a few weeks later, I received a phone message. Hello, Eric. This is Pastor Chris Ford from Glad Tidings Church. You know where we're going, right? And we're looking to continue the daily corporate prayer service and heard you play an instrument. Would you be interested in leading worship once a week? I thought, God, are you serious? We can't be going this route. Let's quick recap. I'd been studying worship music for about a month. Previously studied music that only had instruments, no words. Could get through about 2.5 Israel Houghton songs at that time. And no other worship music had I learned. Had never played keyboard publicly and shook like I am right now when my wife would ask me to play for people that came to our house. And would run from the thought of public speaking and even faster from singing publicly. Oh, and don't forget, I'm that hopeless introvert that would rather have a spinal tap or root canal than go to a public social event. It's who I am, right? But the first thing I heard God say was, "Do you trust me?" I had no choice but to answer yes, knowing he was taking me through the process. The GT Music Ministry began to feed me worship music, and I was amazed at how quickly the Holy Spirit was teaching me. My spirit came alive, and the Lord performed surgery on me while I played and worshiped week after week in the prayer room with the saints. God began to speak to me. He said, "I can use that jazz stuff and your introverted, introspective personality that I gave you, by the way, if you'll let me." He said, "I made you an original. Don't die a copy." See, I felt broken because I couldn't be like the various people I attempted to copy, typically someone extroverted. This church is in the business of fixing the broken and setting the captives free 7 days a week. Thank you, Lord. God is using me as I am today, shaking and trembling up here, and growing me through the process. Make no mistake, I don't sing perfectly. I don't play keyboards perfectly, and it's really not about that. It's about us getting together, the body, to pray, praise, and make a joyful noise unto a perfect God. And that's what's important. I'll close with this. Our leaders have identified that this house needs to be a house of prayer. And the prayer room is open 7 days a week. If you're well and all things are going right for you, come, praise, worship, and testify how good God is. And because we all need to hear it. If you have relationship, career, or family matters, come, let's praise and worship together and seek the Lord's face for breakthrough for you. If you're sick and need spiritual, physical, or emotional healing, come, let's praise and worship together and petition the Lord on your behalf. If you're an introvert like me, come and pray quietly. Pray for the nations and for the church. And pray and share what the Lord shares to you with you introspectively. And if you're an extrovert, come, let's praise and publicly cry out like only you can and shift the focus of prayer to this house. So we thank you. I thank you. Lives and souls are in the balance, and I believe that prayer makes a difference.
Good morning, Glad Tidings family. I've been asked to just share a little bit about how Live Dead has influenced my life over the last 2.5 years. It's been beautiful to watch. It's been beautiful to watch the beautiful messes at times, the confessions of sin, the honesty, the realness, the gritting and gutting it out in day-to-day life, to walk this walk in truth. And it's been beautiful to watch people growing in the prophetic, feeling safe there, not being afraid, but being able to stretch their wings, being able to come to a place where they catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and they can fly. It's been a picture for me of true church, of real church, what God has always intended for His church to be. I also am so blessed to see years of fulfillment of prayers that have gone up before the Lord. I've been involved with prayer at Glad Tidings for 20 years. And to see the faithfulness of the Lord, where He has brought us. We're not the same church. We are not the same church. And we never will be the same church again. And I'm so blessed that Pastor Walden, our leadership, called for that time of live dead 2.5 years ago, we knew after the first 30 days that we were never going back, that it was never going to be the same. But in Nehemiah, after that first remnant came out, they needed all the people to come. They needed everyone to come and join on the wall, everyone to come with their families. We need you, heads of households. We need you, families, to come and take your place on the wall and stand with us so that we can rebuild the temple of the Lord. God first starts by rebuilding it in our own hearts. And then he rebuilds it. He's rebuilding his body. Then he wants to move out and rebuild cities, rebuild nations until the glory of God covers the face of the whole earth. We can sit and watch Duck Dynasty, or we can lay our hands on the sick and we can see him recovered. We can watch The Bachelorette, or we can go forth and raise the dead. So the choice is ours. In Luke 15, it said many who were called and chosen, they were too busy to come. And so the Lord sent his servant out to the highways and byways to compel people to come in. Whomsoever would, whosoever heareth my voice. And so the Lord is calling. He wants you. He's chosen you. He's in love with you. He wants to fill you with his love so that you will be a conduit of love to a world that is going to be in desperate need for him, who's going to be in darkness and looking for his light. Come and be a part of the kingdom.
Hi, my name's John. And I wanted to talk to you about prayer. For me, prayer is a desired lifestyle. So I can't imagine what life would be like without prayer. I mean, I was there at one point in time, but my goodness, how things have changed. Listen, anytime you spend time with God, you're going to change. I'm just saying. So it's just things you have to think about. And you can't go in the prayer room without thinking. You're going to change your thinking. These are things that are just going to happen. And maybe that's what causes people to avoid the prayer room, because they don't want to change their thinking. And so when I'm looking at a lifestyle of prayer, I think about what's happened since the Live Dead Challenge. And I see besides myself changing into what God has wanted me to do, and which was actually my call in life, was to pray. I knew that's what when I heard it from Walt, from Pastor Walt at the pulpit one day, I knew in my spirit, I said, that's what I want to do. That's my call. I knew that prayer was it for me. But once you have an experience and an encounter with Christ, I promise you, things do change. So I've got to personally experience myself, watch myself change, as well as some really dear friends, people that have become friends and come under the same calling of prayer. What we experience in the prayer room is a growth in the gifts. You get to see the manifestations of people growing in what God is doing in their lives through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't really know how to sum this up with what we've seen in the prayer room. It's something you have to experience. That's the truth. And if you'll take the time to do it and to pay the price and come encounter what Christ is doing here in this church, you'll see what happens. You'll see it with your own eyes. We've seen people that didn't believe after they came in an environment that was filled with faith and people full of prayer. I mean, things change, situations change, circumstances change. If I had an invitation to change things that would not normally change if I wouldn't have prayed, then wouldn't I be crazy not to pray? Why would I ever miss up an opportunity for that? I wouldn't, and I don't. There's always a standing invitation with the Lord to come. He says, come to me. And that's your invitation. And we are welcoming anyone and everyone to come into the prayer room and experience what we're experiencing. It is beautiful. It is beautiful what the Lord does. He does marvelous things. And to experience them right here in our own church is to behold the goodness of the Lord.
My name's Gary Peterson. And when we started the Live Dead Challenge 2.5 years ago, I made a commitment to attend one prayer meeting a week, a 6 a.m. meeting. And it wasn't long before I was coming more often than that. And then about 4 or 5 months into it, Pastor Chris had asked me to lead a meeting. And I don't know why I said yes, because I'm just afraid to stand up in front of people and talk. But I said yes. And it was a really a growing time for me during that time that the Holy Spirit just gave me a lot of insight and peace about it, and I was able to stand up there and talk and deliver what the Holy Spirit had told me to. When Pastor Chris asked me to speak about my experience on a Wednesday night, by the next Thursday morning, I got up and I looked at my phone, and the prayer leader had asked me to fill in for him, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But as I drove to church that morning, I prayed, and I walked into the prayer room, and this Jesus calling just stood out to me. So I picked it up, and I'd like to read that to you. Wait with me for a while. I have much to tell you. You are walking along the path I have chosen for you. It is both a privilege and a perilous way. Experience my glorious presence and heralding the reality to others. Sometimes you feel presumptuous to be carrying out such an assignment. Do not worry about what other people think of you. The work I am doing in you is hidden at first, but evident blossoms will burst forth and abundant fruit will be born. Stay on that path of life with me. Trust me wholeheartedly, letting my spirit fill you with joy and peace. During these 2.5 years, I've seen the fruit starting to come forth, and I know there's much, much more fruit to come.
There's a lot more stories just like that, and I wish I could have had the opportunity to share them all this morning, but I hope you enjoyed the ones that you did here, and I hope it stirred something inside of you to press into the Lord even more so. And just take a look at what extravagant abiding will do. You know, those people that have labored and waited and pressed into the Lord, they've had to pay a price. There is a sacrifice to spending more time with the Lord. You might lose some more sleep. You may have to not do your hobby quite as much. You may have to give up a little bit of television or whatever it may be. You may be understood maybe by some of your family members. They don't understand why you think you need to go to prayer. You need to go in your prayer closet and spend time with Jesus. But it's worth it. Every minute of it, minute is worth it. I just want to share this one story about myself, and then we'll close for today. But I, last March, I decided I was in really bad shape, and I needed to go to the gym. I would walk up the stairs out here, and somebody would try to carry on a conversation with me, and I would say, "Well, I'm so winded, I could barely talk to anyone." And so I need to do something about this. And so I decided to join a gym, and I think my husband was a little apprehensive. He's thinking, "Oh my goodness, she's going to spend money, and she's not going to go, and we're going to waste money, and we're going to waste time." Yes, he did, because over the last 30 years, I've tried to go work out maybe for a week, and you know what? My muscles are sore. I don't have time for that. I don't really know what to do, and so I would not do it. And it truly, it's been about 30 years since I worked out consistently. But anyway, so I joined this gym, and they wanted to do this fitness assessment, and I thought, why am I going to do this? Because I'm already in bad shape, and I already know what they're going to tell me. So they had me get on the treadmill for 3 minutes to warm up, and I could barely finish. Just to give you an idea of how bad it was. And then they gave me this 10-pound ball, and they wanted me to swing it, you know? And I did, and I ended up on the floor, nearly passed out after about 20 seconds. So it was very humbling, very humiliating, and just let you in on what I'm doing. So they said, "You know, you're really in bad shape. You really," and I'm thinking, "Yeah, I know." But one thing I did know was that if I was going to get into good shape, I needed to be consistent. I needed to be determined. And what I did was, I have an iPhone, and I have a little calendar on there, and I started marking off every day, you know, from 4 to 5, that I was going to work out. I put it in my calendar, and I was determined not to press into that time because I wanted to spend that time. I knew I had to do it. And so I was working out for about 6 weeks, and I expected to be in great shape after 6 weeks, after not working out for 30 years. I wanted to be able to run a mile or whatever. I mean, that would be a big deal for me if I could run a mile. Anyway, so I'm complaining to my son, Zach. He's my favorite son, and he's my only son. But so I'm complaining to him, saying, "I can't believe it. I'm changing the way I eat. I'm going to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. I'm working out, and I'm just not seeing any results." And he said, "Mom," he said, "if you're not seeing any results, you're probably not working hard enough." Now, why couldn't he have been nice to me and said something like, Mom, you know, I'm so proud of you and all of, you know, you're working really hard. I really see these results. But he was painfully honest, and but it's what I needed to hear. And so with every effort not to be irreverent, I'm noticing that it's the same way in our spiritual lives. If the truth were to be told, the church, the bride, is out of shape and we get winded easily. It's tougher to push through for many. Sometimes we give up. You know, even when I was going to the gym, one of the things that I did was I watched those other people around me and how they would use different equipment, and because I didn't know what to do most of the time, and most of the time it was embarrassing. They would do something, you know, like that big round ball. You know what I'm talking about? Don't try it; it's dangerous. I fell off of it a few times, embarrassed myself. Don't come to the gym that I go to. Don't tell him who it is. Anyway, back to the bride. Many don't expend extravagant time with Jesus because of priority choices, or we just don't know how. And I think that's the way it was for me at the gym. I just didn't know how, and I didn't make it a priority. And that's what this Live Dead is about. He needs to become our priority. I invite you to start coming to some of these prayer meetings. You may not know how to pray like a John or a Jody or anybody else, or Jim, and these people that normally come, or Gary. But I guarantee when you begin to press in and you begin to start hearing how other people pray, and then you start hearing the voice of God for yourself, and then you start praying what you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you, it's going to be different for you. Again, I had to make a decision that I was going to be consistent. I needed to be committed, and it's the same way with this Live Dead thing. In your bulletins today, there's a card in there that says, My Abiding Plan. And I pray that you haven't filled that out already, because we're going to fill that out. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to help us fill that out. I believe the Lord would be saying, don't commit to what you think you can do or what you want to do. Ask Him for what He wants to do. And if you don't hear His voice, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to do anything. It means you're still supposed to do something, make a plan. So one of the things, does He want you to tithe your time, like it says in the Live Dead Journal? You know, my husband said no, and he woke up every night in the middle of the night. So I just warn you now. You know, the first one on there is prayer. You know, the average American Christian prays 5 minutes a day. And one thing I want to tell you this morning is the Lord's never called any one of you to be average. He's called you to be above average. Why would you want to be average? And He's called you to increase. Does He want you to read the Bible every day? Absolutely. We get to know Him through His Word. You know, I love listening to other people preach. I love to listen to read books about who He is. But there's no greater place than to really get to know Him through prayer and reading His Word. I know that's tough for a lot of believers. I do listen to a lot of people every day, and they tell me that they don't read the Word. If you want to grow strong, you've got to eat the meat. You can't just settle for the milk. You've got to eat the meat. Should I memorize Scripture? Psalm 119:11 says, hide the Word of God in your heart that you may not sin against it. This is really all about making a plan today. It's all about prioritizing what He wants you to do. Does He want me to attend 1, 2, 3 prayer meetings? Maybe He wants you to attend all 19 prayer meetings. If that's true, let me know. I might try to be challenged right along with you. Does He want you to fast a meal a day, or maybe the whole day, so you can spend extravagant time just abiding with Him, listening to Him? It's okay to allow Him to stretch you. He's not setting you up for failure. He's setting you up for spiritual success. The Lord knows right where you're at. So when He begins, when we ask Him to speak to us this morning about, what do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do for these next 30 days? He's not going to tell the mother with triplets that I want you to attend all 19 prayer meetings. He's gonna speak to her and say, you're okay right where you're at. Just sit a while with me. We're going to get what we expect. And I'm expecting such a move of the Holy Spirit. I'm expecting each one of you to fall in love with Jesus. And you'll say, I'm in love. And I want everybody to know it. The time is now to become extravagant with the Lord. I heard a prophetic word Thursday morning, and I believe it was right on. It was Thursday morning at the 6 a.m. prayer meeting. We're about to enter into the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit ever at Glad Tidings. And I'm expecting it, and I'm believing it. So this morning, I just want to invite you. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What's my abiding plan according to you supposed to look like over these next 30 days? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to linger with you and abide with you? We're just going to take a couple minutes. I invite you to come to the altar and just make a place with Him and say, speak, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to be people that are fully engaged, fully alive to what you want to do. Holy Spirit, I want to move into a greater place of that extravagant abiding time with you. Holy Spirit, I want my ears to hear what you want me to do. Holy Spirit, I want to fellowship with you in a greater way. I want to know you. I want to long to be one with you. I want to be hungry every day for more of you. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want to know you in a greater way. I want to know you. Just let Him speak to you this morning. He wants to talk with you. He wants to spend extravagant time with you. The Lord over the next 30 days. Really enjoy Him.